Want to welcome everybody to the city council meeting, Shore Acres on Monday, August 10th, 2015, at 7 o'clock. First line of business is roll call. Mr. Stahl?
Alderman Jennings?
Present.
Alderman McCowen?
Present.
Alderman Schnell?
Present.
Mayor Moses?
Present.
Mayor Pro Tim Adams?
Present.
Alderman Wheeler?
Present.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Item 2.0, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Under the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one indivisible.
Moving on to item 3.0, special presentation. And then 3.1, project update tonight. Your Honor, they have Mr. Washington, J.L. Washington, here, chairman of my, and here on Shoreline Restoration and Improvement Advisory Group. Give us an update. Mr. Washington, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor and Council, just as kind of a first quick short historical recap. In 2004, the city received funding from the Texas Coastal Management Program to survey the approximately one-half mile of the bayfront shoreline along Miramar and study the erosion problem. The 2004 results were, we have an erosion problem. I exacerbated that problem. In 2014, the city received funding from the Coastal Impact Assistance Program to develop a consensus-based design and obtain permits from the Corps of Engineers and others to develop plans and specifications. Council created Miramar Shoreline Restoration Improvement Advisory Group. The task of the group was to seek input from the public, provide objective stakeholder concerns, advice and guidance to the City Council and the CF Project Engineering Firm on issues relating to the proposed Galveston Bay shoreline restoration and improvements. We worked with our contractor, ARUP, to get input from public workshops. We presented our preferred alternative to the Council in October of 2014. Council's Resolution 2014-138 authorized the project engineer to proceed with permit applications, finalization of design, permit drawings, and specifications. The permit application was submitted late November, early December 2014. I don't have the exact date, but somewhere around here. Army Corps sent out public notice asking for comments in March of 2015. Queries have been received from Army Corps of Engineers, TCEQ, Texas Historical Commission, and several other entities. All resolved and answered by ARUP on a timely basis. The city receives monthly progress reports from ARUP, and the most recent report states, reached out to USACE and TCEQ to get status update on the project, and there is no further update. Instead, they received a new set of comments from the USACE, which includes various stakeholders. The bad news, in my humble opinion, is we are waiting on the Corps. The good news is, based on the queries that the queries to the project, it's not lost on a shelf somewhere in space. Last council meeting, Mr. Stanton asked about funding sources that the advisory council is looking at. Well, first, the advisory council was never tasked with that job, but second, without the preliminary permit approval, no funding source will even talk to us or look at the project. As I understand it, upon granting the preliminary permit approval, ARUP will deliver shovel-ready drawings to the city to then start working on funding sources. So pretty much, we're just waiting for the Corps of Engineers to approve us. Not much to report, but it is what it is.
Any questions from the council?
Yeah. Hey, Jill, do you have any idea time frame? I know it's a core, but I mean, any educated guess from working with them?
It's way above my pay grade because I've really never worked with them. But everything I've heard, and David can probably chime in too, but everything I've heard is it happens when it happens. I think the good news is they're sending us questions. If they weren't sending us questions and nothing was happening, I'd be concerned.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Mr. Washington.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to item 4.0, approval of minutes. Number 4.1, regular council meeting July 27, 2015. Council has time to review the minutes. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Weir. Do we have a second?
Second.
Ms. Snell. Is there any questions from the council? Why don't we have a motion on the floor about the minutes?
I had a couple of slight edits. Please hand it to Mr. Stahl.
Please.
That's all.
That's one. All those approve?
Aye.
Against? I just have it moving to 4.2. Workshop, council meeting August 4, 2015. The council's had time to look over that. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Mr. Adams, you have a second?
A second.
Ms. Snell. Any questions from the council on the workshop for council meeting August 4, 2015? None being. All those approve?
Aye.
Against? Motion passes. Then 5.0, council reports request. 5.1, Mayor Moses. 5.1.1, city website. City website. City website has been the same website for quite some time. I've heard good and bad about it. More bad than I've heard good. It was on my list of to-dos that I wanted to get to, at least in my tenure while I was here. And we're going to start moving on that. I talked to Mr. Stahl about this a few days ago. I told him this is the budget's my number one concern right now. Then after that, I want to get on the website, but I want to start moving forward on the website now. And when you go to our website, there's numerous antiquated pictures there and things that just look very old. There's not any new life to it whatsoever. I would like to have a complete facelift. One, I would like all the department heads and pretty much, being that this is a small city, I would like to see the whole city staff, from the police department, public works, anyone, a picture of that individual with maybe a small bio beside them, so you know who they are, so you can actually know a face with a name. I would like to see that, especially the council members. When you click our information, it's got a picture of us there beside our name. You can place a face with a name. You see them riding down the street. We're a very small community, golf carts, you know, driving around, walking, jogging, whatever. When someone says hello to you, sometimes you may know who they are. It's nice to know who they are. Upgrade on search engines, history about the city, the format of it. In general, just everything you can think about the website just to get it up to the millennium. You know, right now we're back in the late 80s. I think we need to get up around 2010, 2015 if we can. With that, there has been numerous people that have even volunteered to do their time. I will tell you, doing a website, now, some people may argue this, but I can tell you facts from checking prices. I know from previous doing some research before with Mayor Weber and Mayor Aarons, they were somewhere in the neighborhood when they got estimates around $18,000 to do a website. Websites are not cheap. I know I personally just bought one to redo one, to totally do it. However, I inquired about information, wanting to know, can a website be built without going live online? Might build a couple pages, look at it, see how it looks, and then if it's good, once you go through it, then put it up there. That can be done. I'm not IT savvy on a lot of that stuff, but I want to find out, you know, before we put the puzzle in there, I want to make sure it looks good. With that being said, there's nothing that's HIPAA compliant, nothing that's case sensitive. Now, there's things that we have to have in there, information that we have to provide. So where I'm going with this, can we use somebody that wants to volunteer their time to sit and do this? Yes, we can. I've had numerous people offer that. And I'm going to take somebody up on that. I'm not going to do numerous people. I'm going to do one person. That way, not a bunch of fingers get in the cookie jar and we have a bunch of mistakes. We go back to one person. However, with that, for the folks that are listening that are not here tonight, I entertain the idea and hope that they do. Send your information to the city administrator via the website of ideas on the website, things that you'd like to see, bullet point them, 1 through 10 or whatever. You know, you'd like to see this, you'd like to see that, what you would like to see. Now, I'm not going to promise we're going to put everything on there. What we would like to do is get input from everybody. Man, this is not the size of LaPorte. This is a small community, 1,600 people. I figure maybe 15% of the people will respond to that, if that. But, you know, if we get 40 or 50 good ideas in here, then we can place them all and put it together. We're getting input from the citizens is what I'm trying to do. And then with that, we'll take what we have to put on there and then try to mix it up. But like I said, if maybe even when we get to the point that we want pictures, we may ask the citizens, which I'm sure I'm going to do, to provide us with. Maybe you have a pretty picture of a herring flying off or a dolphin out there. On the beach. You know, I've seen some real pretty pictures on Facebook because social media burns up in this town. And, you know, so if they can do that, maybe they can provide a picture for me in the meantime. But that is where we're going with the website. That when does that start? I'll put a start date on it. As soon as the budget is approved, that's when we're going to start pushing. So that's going to be my next goal. That's what I want done. So once we get the budget workshops out of the way and get the budget approved, I want to move forward with the website. In the meantime, I would like to find that one individual. So anybody wishing to volunteer, send an email to myself or the city administrator. And basically, we'll put a list together and decide who we think we should get that job to and make that pick. With that being said, I know there's been a lot of talk. I do not respond to social media. Some people like it, some don't. I let people talk. I look at it. I watch people get worked up on it. Watch people not get worked up on it. Sometimes it's hysterical, actually, and I'm going to force my opinion on that. But there's been some controversies over how can I get a hold of my council people. Well, if you go to the city website and the main screen, it starts with my name, the mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, and goes on. There are four, now five, with Jerome. We got his email fixed. We were having some glitches. They're lit up in blue. They're not just black. If you click on the name, it goes straight to an email address where you can email us. I have never had any problems with people getting a hold of me without my phone number even being up there. Myself, personally, I work 10, 12 hours a day. And, you know, city business, I try to handle all my off time when I can or after work. But getting calls during the day sometimes makes it very complicated. I don't have a problem. Most of the people in the city know my number. But an email you get automatically through my phone or my iPad, and I generally respond very quickly. I know there's people in here that I responded to generally within 2 or 3 minutes after they emailed me. That's one way. Other way, message by phone, call in City Hall. I'd like to speak to Alderman Wheeler. Get a message. We will get a hold of him that way. Come by City Hall, leave a message for him. Contact the city administrator via email and tell him you want to speak to him. There's just been a lot of, we can't get a hold of people. Well, there's numerous ways. I know the website's still old, but if you do click on the name, and then there are others right now, Barbara Snell, which has been gracious to have her number on there, I think even when she ran before. Mr. Jennings has got his number on there. Jerome has got his number on there. Mr. Wheeler, myself, Mr. Adams don't. I'm not opposed to putting it on there, but I would rather get an email and get factual than basically, then I'll contact you back. I had messages up here the other day that did not last more than an hour because I'm generally up here, come up here, and I responded back to them. And most of the time I can't get all the people I've come back to 3 times. But, for the folks listening out there, please go to our website and you'll be surprised what you can still get off of, even antiquated as it is. That gives you an idea just on the website itself. I can't find any of my other notes. But on that, so if someone is wishing to volunteer their time, I've already had some people call up and talk to me. Please email myself or the city administrator. Let us know that you're interested. Like I said, we'll pick one person. I'll make a decision on who that person is. Hopefully within the next few days, or I'd say a week, give enough people time to go through this information, but I would like to preliminary start things moving. I want the wheels to start turning. I don't want them not to turn. With that being said, I'm going to move on to item 5.12, state highway issues. AT&T was the last glitch, my understanding, from DOT that they had. They had a line running on the south side of Bayou Forest, and they had to get that removed to be repaired. So what they've done, they've got that out of the way, so now the drilling has commenced again, so now they're laying the pilings, the cement bottoms that hold everything. They're actually all the way at the end and working their way back. Once that is done, the reason they have not on the north side put anything in on those holes that are open, all of those are going to be pulled out. One, some of them are going to be cut to get the waves level, and they're going to put the aggregate on the inside. All right, so they don't want to do two things at once. All the ones that are on the south side are actually getting all that put on at the cement factory where they're doing that. They'll bring those in. They're supposed to be pre-cut and set. There's a section of about five of them that are going to have a bigger hole in the bottom around the lake area that was requested by residents that we got them to approve of. So with that all being said, is there a time date when they're going to be finished? No. My understanding, they're going to work 6 days a week. I can assure you they were working Saturday. They were working today, so I'm hoping they're going to stay on it. I was really pushing them to have it done by Christmas time, before Christmas gets here, and they get it out of the way and be done with it. People are tired of seeing the holes in the wall. People are tired of having the yards exposed. Numerous issues there. Once again, that is state property. We have no control. We can suggest. We can ask. But when it comes down to it, you can only do so much. We could go to the President of the United States. It's not going to move it any faster. They're moving. They're working. They are working now. So if they stay on their schedule and do what they say 6 days a week, it ought to get done fairly quickly. But delays happen. So we haven't had any rain. We know that. So we'll see what happens there. With that being said, I appreciate that. We're going to move on to item 6.0, public hearings, public comments. 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council on comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are directed to the city council. Dialogue with the audience is not permitted by the council. Council members are prohibited by law participating in discussion and deliberations of specific agenda items. With that being said, I'm going to start to the far right and work my way to the left. And I'd like to speak. Please give us your name and address.
Kim Stanford, 211 Short Ridge Boulevard. I have some petitions here. I have approximately 130 names of people that want bulk to cut back. I'm going to give you a copy with the list of all the addresses and stuff, but not everybody else, because we don't want it to be a mailing list.
Okay, so you do not wish for this to be issued out to the public?
No.
Okay.
Because there's everybody's addresses and things, and we don't want any stalking going to their houses, taking pictures, posting on Facebook.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you.
And then I saw a resolution that you posted for the bulk pickup saying that we were going to have dumpsters 4 times a year. There's a lot of people in the neighborhood that don't have the means to carry their garbage to a site like that. We also have elderly that are on disability and things like that, fixed incomes that can't afford to have people haul their things off. With regards to the palms on Short Ridge Boulevard, they were actually planted by the city in the old easement, so I feel that you guys should be removing those palms that fall off the tree.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Moyer?
Guilty as charged. Neil Moyer, North Country Club Drive. I appreciate the approach being taken as far as trying to get this issue off the center, given the precipitous action by the council at a previous meeting. I am, though, kind of concerned that Exhibit A, which purports to lay out, I think, what seems to be in some detail, the design of the program, and since it's part of the resolution, of course, raises the question of if there were going to be any changes to this, would a subsequent resolution be necessary in order to address the issues on here. Previously, having been a professional regulation and rules writer and a few pieces of legislation, the Exhibit A throws around a lot of terms that either overlap, may be different, maybe something else, vegetative yard waste, we get non-hazardous waste, non-vegetative trash, permissible non-hazardous waste, trash. Then we go down and we get trash and trash, yard waste and trash, unauthorized waste. And my point being is that Exhibit A tends to be fairly prescriptive in the design of the program. It gets into some detail. And I'm really thinking that it may be premature to do that, given that I don't know how you would pencil out even the cost of this program as articulated here for the budget, but I'm sure the council and the city administrator will strive to do that. I am troubled by some of the prescriptive aspects in here also about excluding palm fronds, logs, trees, stumps, and other loose materials such as grass and leaves stripping. There are other things which may have the same characteristics as pond fronds. I'm not sure what was intended here. Citrus tree cuttings are spiky. Bougainvillea cuttings are spiky. Rose bush cuttings are spiky. My agave are kind of prickly. The point being is that if palm fronds are excluded because of, I guess I'll call puncture hazards, there are other vegetative wastes that would meet that same criteria. Again, this gets back to being overly prescriptive in some areas here and not allowing for the opportunity for those issues to be worked out subsequently. Like I said, I think the council acted precipitously when it previously took action on this program, and now essentially trying to pull the cord to get something started up is going to be a challenge. I look forward to working with the council and seeing how the council addresses this challenge and gets it off the ground, presumably sooner rather than later, and takes into account aspects of how people generate their waste and when they do.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Diane Victor, 3346 Miramar. First of all, I want to thank all of council and even Mike for acting on this trash program. It's not what we end up doing. It was what we had that was so bad that we had allowed ourselves to get to the point that trash was just everywhere, piles of trash. And I appreciate the mayor calling and getting the trash picked up. And I've been going around and I just see a few piles left, and I assume that those are ones that are going to have to be picked up by something special, or they're going to do it with code enforcement. But the city looks so much better. And I appreciate y'all going through the effort. I know this is a pain, but it's just so much nicer to see our city this way. And whatever the outcome is, whether we go every month or four times a year or twice a year, let's just do it within our budget and try to get back to where we have our city sparkling and not trash piles out there for 6 weeks. And thank you all for doing everything. And thank you for going to the effort to get this out. I mean, you got to start somewhere. So thank you all.
Thank you. Angela Horton, 228 Two Grove. Take it as a threat or a promise, either way, I will be a thorn in your side about bulk pickup until all of my stupid chinaberry trees are gone. And then I really don't care. Four times a year I think is fantastic. I would like once a month, but I get it. I'm a single person. I don't have a whole lot of trash. So I don't need a whole lot of trash pickup. Four times a year, I think is fantastic. The whole centralized location thing, good start, but it's not going to work. You're going to have too many, even setting up a camera, you're going to have people disable the camera, and you're going to have people dump. And then you're going to have prosecution for someone illegally dumping. You're going to be wasting more time and more money prosecuting that one person that dumped something that wasn't supposed to be dumped there, or a non-resident dumping something. You're wasting time, and you're wasting valuable resources, money, with something going in that direction. I think the four times a year, and I understand about not picking up tree stumps. I get that. That's kind of ridiculous. But when you put a size parameter on picking up a log, an 8-inch diameter log, come on, that's crazy. Mine are like this big. I don't know what else to do with it. I can't cut it up more. I mean, I guess I could, like, but I can't. It's just me. Most of the time, it's just me out there. Safety-wise, it's not the smartest thing. Maybe a suggestion of, I don't know, your city equipment, renting it out to the citizens. I would gladly pay. I mean, if I knew that my money is going back into the city, I would gladly rent from the city to borrow your equipment, or even your guys, to come and finish cutting down my trees and hauling it away. I am embarrassed that I've had a trash pile in front of my house since I moved in, but it was just to get rid of the chinaberry trees. I think that it's a good start. It's a great move in the right direction, but I think that it needs to be tweaked a little bit more.
What was the numbers on your house again?
228.
Thank you.
Gerald Victor, 3346 Miramar. Like to just talk about the trash pickup. The way I look at it, if the citizens want, let's say, monthly or twice monthly trash pickup, so be it, provided they're willing to pay for it. Now, right now, the citizens are paying $13.50 a month for garbage and trash pickup. The problem is the $13.50 doesn't really pay for the heavy trash pickup. So what is I recommend, if the citizens, the majority, are willing to boost or contribute maybe $18 or $20 a month for heavy trash and garbage pickup combined, then go for it. But if they're not, then I'm against council pulling money out of the city's reserve fund, which is the savings account, to make up the difference. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else in the back room? Thanks. I can read it in your eyes.
Then you couldn't see. Nancy Thompson, 127 and 203 Shorthurst Boulevard. The idea of having a central place where we haul our stuff, that's the problem. How are we going to get it there? I'm not getting younger, and so I don't see myself hauling stuff down there. Also, the things that are just vegetated, that's not always what we need to throw away and a place to put it. So I think to restrict it to just that is not a good plan, nor to have a central spot where you have to haul it to. Been there, done that. You know, it works to a certain extent, but it does not work totally. So you're still going to have a lot of people with things that need to be disposed of, and you cannot get somebody to come up and pick up one or two things. They want to make some money at doing this. So I would suggest that the quarterly is fine, but it needs to include everything, and it needs to be at our own driveway. Thank you.
Thank you. To work my way back this way. Anybody in the front?
I think I need to leave them.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm going to Trahan. I live at 3215 West Country. We moved to this city knowing there were a lot of trees, a lot of shrubs. Those trees and shrubs need trimming, and they need to look nice. And in order to do that, we have to have that picked up. This city should provide those resources. This is, if it means increase the bill, then it means increase the bill. But I think that is one of the necessities for this city. Without that, I don't think this city should survive. Because we all have things to get rid of. What are we supposed to do with them? That's my opinion.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Lowe.
Charlotte Wells, 3342 Miramar. I would like to thank council because I know that it does take a lot of time out of your day and week and years to do this job, and I do appreciate that you're providing a service. However, when you take this job, I also expect that our staff and our elected officials speak to constituents with respect and to be polite and not name call. I would appreciate that. I asked Mr. Stahl about this earlier today, Ms. Victor and I did. We got a thing in the mail about an auction at one of the houses on Miramar that's for sale. To me, it looks like a business. It says Nationwide Liquidators Incorporated are going to bring in all kinds of stuff that's listed here, and they're going to bring it into an empty house on Saturday. And they're going to have the auction at 1 o'clock, and it's going to be on Saturday and on Sunday. And then Mr. Stahl said that they're going to take it away after that, but I can tell you right now, if you look at the house online at the real estate site, it's an empty house. There's no house. There's nothing in there. So they're bringing this in, going to sell it in 2 days and leave it. So my concern is not necessarily with this one particular thing. I know that someone else in Shore Acres on Miramar wanted to have options at his house, and I'm just afraid that if this happens, that we might see more of it. I don't have problems with garage sales and things like that that are running well, but if we're going to have a business in Shore Acres, the parking, all those things become a big problem. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? We're going to move on to 7.0. Administrative reports. 7.1. Administrative reports. City Administrator David Stahl.
Good evening. Previously, Dizzy was doing about a sinkhole that was on Shore Acres Boulevard between Sunrise and the Circle, closer to the Circle, in the west, eastbound lane. We ran the full gamut of tests and to check and see if that sinkhole was leading to a wastewater line, and there was no evidence that that was the case. That is a county road, Shore Acres Boulevard, and so Precinct 2 came out and they filled the void. It was about a cubic yard, and it brought that up to the surface, and my understanding at some point they'll come out and do an asphalt patch on the hole where they put those millings in. But the sinkhole issue has been resolved at this point. The other item I have for you this evening is a request from Alderman Schnell for me to bring this back to council. And that was a list of all the active lawsuits pertaining to Shore Acres property owners, delinquent property taxes, and resulting legal action. As I mentioned at the last meeting, when that material was not available, we contract with City of LaPorte to do our assessor collector duties. They have a registered tax assessor collector, Kathy Powell, who provides those services to the City of Shore Acres, saving us considerable funds and time doing that. And then the legal is handled by a law firm in Houston. So going through channels, requesting from Kathy Powell, and in turn her requesting from the attorneys. That information has been included in your packet. It's a lot of pages, but it's only two properties. There are only two active legal cases, and all the documentation is attached there for you to see, and who the parties are to those suits. And those are the items I have for you this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Any questions from council on either items?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Jennings, go ahead.
Mr. Stahl, so we only have two active suits?
That's what I'm told by the attorneys, yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Item 7.2, monthly police reports. Chief Harrison?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Council. Chairman Alcala, y'all seen the monthly report for July 2015? Numbers, they really kind of stay consistent throughout the months. More traffic stops than anything else. We've had a lot of emphasis on Shore Acres Boulevard. I don't know the number of citations we've written in the last 4 weeks, but we've written a whole lot of them on Shore Acres Boulevard after getting many citizen complaints about speeders the last few weeks. So hopefully you're going to see a slowdown in that area. Other than that, we did have a few big things that happened. It's not always, I stand up here sometimes and I talk about our citizens and how great they are, and they are, but sometimes we have people that don't live here come through our town. Last month, we assisted with, they had a shooting in Kima, or actually a robbery in Kima, the T-Mobile store, and the suspects fled northbound on 146. And we had three officers. I don't know how, but that day we had three officers here. It was kind of a miracle in itself, but they were instrumental in getting that vehicle stopped just north of Shore Acres Boulevard on 146. Car was occupied by four bad guys. All four were taken into custody. And on the news, they mentioned LaPorte. They never mentioned us. That's okay. We know. We're fine with that. Just so happened the same night, a young night shift officer out doing what he's supposed to be doing, and he gets a call from LaPorte that there's a probably intoxicated driver that's southbound in northbound lanes. And he got up on the freeway, and sure enough, driver over 100 miles an hour coming through LaPorte in the wrong lanes. And he was able to get that vehicle stopped. And I have no doubt whatsoever that it saved serious bodily injury to somebody south of town. And then for those that saw the excitement today, but Kima had a chase. Came out of a shooting in Santa Fe. And the bad guys chose to come through our city on 146 once again. And thankfully, we had a young officer on duty today that stayed with them for about 18 seconds. And then he came back to the city and let somebody else at it. Because we're not going to chase them all the way through that. It wasn't our chase. They ended up in Chambers County Rector, and they had about 15 officers with them. So we did exactly what we were supposed to do. We got them through our city safely, and they went on to somebody else. That's my report.
Chief, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I know you may not know this information, but on the traffic stops, how many of those were residents of Shorakers?
I do not know the answer to that question. But every citation sits on my desk until I walk it over, have somebody walk it over, and I look for our residents, and there's not many of them at all.
A handful?
Very few. I had all the citations from the weekend. If I had to guess, there was 20 or 25, and not one of them was one of our citizens.
And we behave.
Council, any questions for Chief?
Chief, what was your terroristic threat?
That particular one was, it was called in as a terroristic threat. It turned out to be a civil matter. Again, it goes into the system is what it's called in. And we don't have the access in our vehicles to change that once we determine it's not, so it stays in the system as such. I'm really hoping this is a gear that we buy an RMS system.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Chief, could you go over the 6 code violations?
Sure will. Have different ways that I handle code violations. It's something new to me. I try to knock on the door as the first thing. I don't like getting letters in the mail from my homeowners association. Most of the time I don't agree with it. So I try to knock on the door and visit with these people if I see something or something reported. And I have great success. I've got, I think, 22 instances I've cleared just in a couple of months, just knocking on doors and people fixing whatever the problem was. On the 6 that you refer to, one was weeds and grass, and it was called in by a neighbor who was just insistent that something be done. It was in a backyard. I couldn't even see it from the street. But I addressed it, and it's been rectified. A second one was a loose dog with a bite. That falls under code enforcement. In fact, 2 of them last month were dog bites that were both carried under the code enforcement. One was a junk vehicle. A pool, and then a second junk vehicle. And on the pools, the water in the pool is black, and you know the pool's got to be clear enough that you can see a disc at the bottom of the pool. There's some regulations in there. So that was the other one.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any questions? Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, sir.
Congratulations again on your son.
Thank you so much.
Bill and I have sent forth 3 monthly public works report. Mr. Stahl.
Yeah, you have the written report from Eric Ingram in your packet. And I would comment that we have a new employee. And that new employee is a qualified operator of our boom mower and has been out doing quite a bit of catch up on mowing ditches in our right of way. I would also note that on the heavy trash pickup, there are contractors returning this week in an attempt to get all of the remaining material that's in the right-of-way picked up. We did have a couple public works projects and utility projects that some of our citizens may have noticed. We have excavated a manhole on South Country Club last week, and we now have another special manhole that we'll be excavating this week on South Country Club so that we can locate a sewer line for new construction of a home there. Over the years of having asphalt work done, they put asphalt over the manhole and built it up, and then when we had a new concrete street put in, the concrete street was put over the top of the manhole. Not ideal, but we're uncovering that. The other is we had a water leak at the intersection of Fairfield and Old 146. It started off as a little bird bath, and got a couple calls on that, and we had to do a locate, underground locate, but you may have noticed there was also TxDOT doing road work out there, so we waited for that to get out of the way. We were trying not to have to open the street surface of Fairfield and create a problem. Fairfield's one of our second highest traffic on this side of 146. We pulled the drawings and discovered there had been a plan at one point for the city to loop water lines along Old 146, and it appeared that those plans never came to fruition, and that line came down the north side of Fairfield and went under Fairfield and was a dead end line. So we excavated without going in the street. We went not where the leak was at, but on the north side, took a foot section out and discovered that to be the case, that the line that went underneath the street was not an active line, and we put a valve on that dead end. And in the future, if we loop there, we'll put a new pipe in and replace that one. So fortunately, we were able to open and not disturb the street surface, and so that repair was completed today, and that's the report.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Any questions for Mr. Stahl on Public Works?
Yeah, I had. There was several citizens that came in commented about low water pressure. Was that ever investigated? Was there any findings from that?
Yes. Some of that we were able to explain, some of it we were not. We visited with those residents, and Public Works utility folks made visits and sampled the water pressure during the day there. We did have a pump that has been tripping at this plant and causing us to have some variations in our pressure. The engineers on the plant, we still have not accepted the electrical on that plant. That pump has been one of the problems, and that's still being worked on by the engineers to account for some of the variation.
Is that on the west side?
The pump is right here adjacent to Public Works in this plant on Schrader's Boulevard. But that is our main pressure point for the new system.
Central Park Playground, all back in service, it says, and there's no tape or restrictions.
No, that's correct. And we do have some hardware on order that we'll be adding to that. We'll be pulling the slide out and sleeving the supports for that slide so that it doesn't create a problem in the future. But yes, it's. And there is some additional work to be done, but it is back in service.
Any questions? Moving to 8.0 business. 8.1, consideration of approval of invoices. Just has had time to look over the invoices. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, sir. You have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Riddle. Any questions from the council on the invoices? None being said, all those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.2, consideration approval resolution 2015-151, establishing vegetation heavy trash collection program for fiscal year 2015-2016. Looks like Mayor Moses. Okay. I unfortunately was not here in the last council meeting. I was attending a conference trying to learn something. I had a full evening after the council was over of phone calls and numerous emails since then. And it was all about, we need to fix this problem. So, okay, we need to fix this. We have five council members. We have a mayor here. What's going on with that? But the mayor was tasked with it from numerous residents of fix it. So, I usually react very quickly to things. But I did take my time trying to put some things together. the verbiage may not be exactly right, but the idea was to help our citizens and not harm our citizens by no means. Some things, as I saw on social media, enjoyed so much reading. Fronds, prickly rose bushes, things of that, can go in your dumpster. They can go in your dumpster now. They've never not been. You put them in a trash bag, or you just throw them in the dumpster, they go in the trash truck. You're still at your driveway. That hasn't changed. That's not going to change. Budget doesn't go into effect till October. You have it till the end of this month. September leaves you open. The price structure was not going to increase. I made sure that that was one of the things I didn't want, is an increase. I wanted a decrease. So the idea was to, can we afford a chipping service to come in, afford to do all this under that, I believe it was $26K. That was the whole idea, and I was keeping it there. So there's, you know, when we get into, good example, I had a concern from the citizens, basically to push that we're getting things going on. Even aldermen were calling me, and rightfully so, they should. Seeing pictures of mattresses being put out. We would clean one street up, literally, and I drive this city a lot. The next day, boom, it's full again. But yet you want to clean our city up. You know, I mean, I can't control if someone goes and dumps something somewhere, or a citizen decides, well, I'm going to put it all out today. Well, you know, I got a little bit more tomorrow. Now you've got that truck making a circle back that way and leaving the streets that have been sitting there waiting. Now they're trying to get them, you know, as a uniformed basis. The idea is, what can we do to make our city look prettier? What can we do to not raise our taxes? What can we do to save us some money but get the same quality of service? So the idea was, when we looked at this, and I brought this up to David, and he did some verification, is the vegetation, like the grass, the rose bushes, the fronds and things, all those can go in. Matter of fact, I just threw a rose bush away myself in my dumpster, and it was thrown away today. They came by and picked it up. Those things should still be at your front door. I do understand, well, what about the fact that we have something, you know, I have to bring it? And this is getting to a community that is, we're all getting up there in the age a little bit more, you know. It's not as easy to do the things we used to do. I feel that myself. But, however, the city's not going to come out and cut your dead trees either and get rid of them and haul them off either. You know, there's certain responsibilities to each. I know if you buy property in this city and it's brand new and you're going to clean it up, I totally understand. You know, it should be that until you get going on. But once vegetation starts, it starts. There's no perfect science here. Tonight, what I put on the table, the council does not have to agree with it. It is out of my hands. I am a tiebreaker. They can say, we don't agree with it. We turn around. We look at it. This was not brought up in our budget workshop. Because it was not really something on the agenda yet. I had no idea of a lot of things yet. I was still working on things. I don't like to go out half-cocked. I like to get all my information. Even though it still seems tonight that I didn't get all of it. However, I do have plenty of notes of things that citizens want to do. So this is something that the council chooses not to elect. Then we'll relook at it and try to get it set up. Try to see how we can refine things, make them work better for us. So that's where this whole resolution came from, is the fact that we had quite a few people upset. They wanted something to happen. You didn't want the wheels to sit, so I did it. I spent a lot of time on it. I spent a lot of time on your budget. And the council is the one that makes the final decision. It's not me. They're the ones that vote on it. We just have to try to agree to it the best we can. So with that being said, that was where we were going. But I want people to understand that the cost factor wasn't going to go up, one. Two, small vegetation stuff, like I said, will be picked up still by, and correct me if I'm, is that correct, David?
Correct.
So that will still be picked up. So we definitely know we had something broke. And it's not only the service, I don't think, I know personally, I don't want to see Republic back out here, even with the regular trash trucks. And Alderman Wheeler brought this up, and it's a very good point. I've seen this numerous times, especially in my old residence in front of Mr. Stanton's house, that half the liquids from either the truck, the dumpster, or the transmission left the line about 500 feet long. That's not what we want. Not to mention, half the time it smells because it's out of the dumpster. So we want to get somebody that they're boxed in. I don't know much about a dumpster truck, but it doesn't leak. So that's, you know, it's not sanitary either. and it's not something we want to smell. So that's something we want to look at. So we don't even want to really look at them real hard for that. We'd like to look at a different. There's numerous ones out there, but we have to find what's going to give us. You pay for what you get. You're going to pay cheap. You're going to probably get a cheap service. Then you're not going to be happy. So let's get somewhere and try to find an easy medium here to work with us all. So that being said, if tonight the citizens basically had their comments, council's had time to listen to you. If they choose so much to not take this, then I highly recommend that you basically email your council people or call them and let them know what you'd like to see. But do it quickly. So it doesn't. You don't want this to lag. This is something that needs to happen very soon. So we can put our heads together and try to come up with the best sensible reason to make things happen. And with that being said, the council has a right. I'm going to ask for a motion. And then after, if it's motioned and seconded, we can ask questions. So this time for item 8.2, I'll be asking for a motion. Okay, no motion, then we're going to move on. It dies right there. We're going to move on to item 8.3. Discussion and approval of ordinance number 2015-183, establishing a city online message board visible to the public where a message can be posted by members of the city council and authorized by city staff. Alderman Schnell.
It can seem like deja vu to some of y'all because I brought this up two meetings ago, and I was able to find some other cities. I asked David, and he was kind enough to print out in your package for the village of Valente. City Council, it's a small city right outside of Austin, 523 people, and they have this message board. And I called and spoke with one of their city council members, and I just, have you had any problems? Any at all? And she said, absolutely not. Austin did it first. They watched Austin, you know, let someone else fall on their face first. And then when that was going smoothly, then they adopted it. Things such as the trash, it would be beneficial for council to be able to actually have discussions and ask questions where, and it's no TOMA violation, it's in public, all y'all can see it, but just questions such as, you know, how much is this going to cost us? Because that way we will be a lot more efficient and we'll have the knowledge that we need to make good decisions for everybody. So we've got the technology, there's free software, that can be downloaded. Ron Hawkins, he's our IT guru. He built one from scratch without even having, you know, the fundamentals. And it took him like 6 hours, but he built from total scratch. This would just be in addition to our city website. It'd be a good addition after we get that facelift, too. But this does allow council members to discuss openly for citizens to see. And you have questions, and you're not going to have TOMA violations. For example, Mr. Mayor and I were talking last week, and he couldn't go into detail too much about what he was going to propose because he had already talked to Mr. Adams about it. And so he can't talk to me because then we've got a TOMA violation. Whereas it's all on the board, it's out there.
Alderman Snell.
Yes.
Point of information. Could you explain TOMA?
Oh, yes. TOMA is the Texas Open Meetings Act, and it is designed to prohibit council from meeting not in a public forum, behind closed doors, you know, making deals, we'll get this done, that kind of thing, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, outside of a public forum where you were all privy to the information and discussions. So that's, and it's a big deal, it really is. And you can get
bonds and jail time.
Yeah, they take it very seriously. And like I said, it is. The Texas legislature approved the bulletin board system in 2013. They said it is compliant with TOMA. The council member that I talked to in Valente, she said their city attorney advised them this, though. You know, this is not a place to get all huffy and argue. This is for exchanging of information. For example, if we had it, I could have put this on there instead of having to print out all this paperwork, too, so that all the council members could have known that before we got here. But if I go down to each one of them individually, I'm violating TOMA. So I would just ask council to please reconsider this. I think it would be beneficial to council, and I also think it would be beneficial to the citizens to be able to see hey, this representative is thinking this way, maybe I should email them or pick up the phone or knock on their door or what have you. So I think it would just be a good thing all the way around.
Yep.
That's it.
All right, so at this time, I'm going to entertain a motion for approval of ordinance number 2015-183.
I'll make the motion.
Motion. We have a second.
I'll second.
Now, any questions from the council?
Yeah, I do. I have some. So the PHP BD software probably preferred for this type of BDS, and what's the time for setup? I know Ron Hoskins did a homemade in 6 hours, but is it like 2 hours to install on our website?
It's minimal time. And then once it's set up, there really isn't a whole lot of okay. upkeep.
And Mr. Stahl would be the one to download that onto our website?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And David Stahl would be the administrator of the BBS, so do we have an idea of how much time he might spend on that, depending on, I guess, how many posts there are?
I think it would be contingent on posts. The lady that I spoke to, like I said, this is 553 people.
Yeah, Valencia, yeah.
But, you know, she said that they may spend an hour a month.
And like Alderman Snell said, the public can see this. So council posts and city staff posts, and then y'all have the ability to see, not interact, but see. Let's see. And the benefit to the city, as Alderman Snell said, would be able to put things out there instead of printing copies and bringing them tonight or putting them in the packet, and so even citizens can see it beforehand. So, all right, I just want to clarify what it does and what it is. Thank you.
So I have a question. I'm trying to reread this because I thought I saw something in here says the administrator shall mean the person or persons designated by the governing body to maintain this. I guess my only issue is naming the city administrator the administrator of this particular website. He would be the administrator, the moderator, basically everything to do with this. You mentioned Ron Hoskins as being an IT computer guru. Has anybody approached him to take on this role as the administrator of this particular piece of the website?
I know for a fact he'd be more than willing to.
I just, yeah. You know, my only problem, you know, with this whole thing is to dump this in David's lap. You say that there's 1 hour a month, but you know, depending on the post, we've seen different topics take on a life of their own that can take up quite a bit of time. And I don't really see our city administrator is the person to be responsible or be subjected to this. So,
And Mr. Stahl would be able to, he can post Mr. Ingram, the department head chief. That's where it says. Users shall be all members of the governing body and city staff members authorized by the mayor. And so I think it's important sometimes for, you know, the chief of police who may want to interject. Same thing with public works, especially during this budget time. That would actually be greatly beneficial for us. It's a little late now, but things such as that. And Mr. Stahl, like I said, I mean, he's got a wealth of knowledge, and I mean, if that way that can be out there for all of council to see and the citizens to see.
Any further questions?
I think this whole city is probably one of the most political cities that I've ever been in my short tenure of living in it here. I will say that one of the things that I enjoy seeing is the same people showing up to city council for the most part. They're the ones that are in the know. They're the ones that know exactly what's happening. From what I've seen of social media sometimes around our city, I just turn it off, period. Okay? I think the idea that Ms. Snell is bringing is probably a pretty good idea. I have one problem with it right now. we're working on a budget. We're working on trying to make everything a little bit better. We have enough on our plate without going to this bulletin board right now. We're even talking about a new website. If she wishes to entertain, or if council wishes to bring this back in December, I'll probably be for it then. But right now, we have enough on our plate. I'm not interested in opening up another bag of worms and giving it to the city employees or the administrator to try to keep up with this at this time, even if it is 1 hour.
Is there a deadline if approved tonight?
It
when
says
you have to instigate?
Within 30 days.
Oh, after.
So a month. So after the budget's done.
Any further questions? There's a motion on the floor. All those in favor of ordinance number 2015-183, say aye.
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 Three ayes. All those against?
Aye.
All right.
Ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.4. Discussion and questions for staff about 2012 goals and governance plan. Mr. James.
This is just a quick discussion. It won't take long. We'll be out here in just a second. But Mr. Stanton has been very diligent in bringing up his the 2012 goals and governance plan that the city paid for. And so I just wanted to go through some things because of that. There are some very good ideas in there. Since I've been on council, the city administrator or the mayor, neither one have approached me about it. And so I'm just curious as to where that stands. So we're going to do some of this, any of it. Number one is it calls for council to develop SMART objectives. We pretty much know what that is. Can you tell me if this is being done? SMART being specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. And council is supposed to do this for city staff.
You're asking me as mayor right now, 2000 goals, I think we've approached some things. I would have to look at specific items. But at this time, I can't answer that question. I don't have the material in front of me. I'd have to look and see. Even if I did, I would have to look and see what we've done in the past.
Okay. Can I ask the city administrator if he's aware of any?
Okay. My TML guidelines, after talking with him, basically, could this be asked during working hours and not be taking up council time? I mean, is this relevant to where it can be asked during the normal day of working hours?
Well, the reason I bring it up is because a citizen has approached council numerous times about it and asking questions about it.
Okay, I'm going to allow it. Mr. Dahl, can you answer that question?
I have provided council since 2012, but not this council, with the goals and governance plan, and I'm not aware of any action taken by council to develop SMART objectives.
Okay, and then under the area of communication, it says develop a PowerPoint, prepare tours for real estate people to kind of make, basically to boost our city. Is that happening? And again, I'm asking the mayor at this point, I guess.
And I'm going to refer to the city administrator.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just trying to be correct.
You're fine.
Yeah, some of that work was done in concert with the improvements that the city was making, infrastructure, particularly the streets and water and sewer, with plans to do a FAM tour for real estate and developers. The predicate there was having all of those projects complete so that we could do a site tour. At this point, we still have not got everything complete with the water plant. And so it would have happened a couple years ago, and it did get sidelined, and it has withered on the plate.
Okay, and under the area of finance, who is the city's grant writer? It says that we are... we need to seek opportunities with the city's grant writer to increase revenue sources for projects and programs. I thought it was the city administrator, but this doesn't read that way, since the city administrator was in that meeting.
We did have a city employee that we sent to grant writing school, who started that process and made numerous grant applications and was unsuccessful in winning any of those grants and went on to employment elsewhere. Okay. All grants following that, which all was before Ike, and
all grants since then have been done by either the mayor, a member of council, or myself.
Okay, and last question, again, is for the mayor. Do you think this document is still pertinent, and should we be using it?
My answer to that, I think so, and I think the council and myself need to reopen and get packets of that, and David get the packets of that so we can look at it. I'll be given issued out to us.
And I would note that there were some milestones in here, objectives that we have accomplished. So, I mean,
that's why I asked if it's still pertinent.
Whether, you know, whether council is actively involved or not, there were things happening on the staff level. We did get the additional cell phone tower, for example. We did work with the Port of Houston Authority on sound reduction. We've done a number of things that were in that plan that was the catalyst for.
Thank you.
So the cell and you said Port of Houston, David, sound reduction?
Yes.
Mr. Jennings, any other questions?
No, thank you.
Now we've got council. Do you have any questions?
No.
We have 8.5, discussion questions about staff about sidewalks in Bayou Four subdivision. Alderman Jennings.
Yeah, this is another real quick question. I've had four people that live in the Bayou Four subdivision up front. You know, when you come into our neighborhood, it looks really nice. But they have asked me, who is responsible for maintenance of the sidewalks? Because the sidewalks are in very poor condition. And in fact, in areas, it's a safety hazard. To even walk on those sidewalks, especially when you can think about children going to school in the dark and stuff like that. So my question is, the biggest question I have is, who is responsible for maintenance of those sidewalks?
First, I'd like that. Is it both sides or the 3,400 block?
Mainly on the north side.
The 3,400 block.
Mainly on the north side.
3,400 block.
The only complaint I had on the south side was that it's a little too steep right there by where the city park is, you know, where the houses start going uphill. Mm-hmm. Sidewalk right there.
That's a drainage area from the lake.
Yeah, the sidewalk kind of goes up. They just said that was steep, but that's you know, that could be a safety hazard in the rain. But basically, I'm asking who for the people that live in Belfort, who is responsible for that?
I'd have to refer. I'm not totally sure myself.
The adjacent homeowner is responsible for the maintenance of the sidewalk.
Is that in city code? I couldn't find it.
No, it's in state law that the owner of the property is responsible to the center of the street, but state law does not have any enforcement provision in that. It's transportation code, because that's a street right-of-way. There are some cities who have taken on the responsibility for sidewalks, but they have to take a positive action to do that. In absence of that, it's not. The city of Shore Acres has not done that. Shore Acres has done like many cities and requires developers to install sidewalks, and then it falls to the abutting property owner. In your packet, I gave four examples. I didn't know what the topic was going to be on sidewalks, but I did include a page here. I had a suspicion that might be the question. For example, in the city of Houston, they only maintain sidewalks in the business district. All residential sidewalks are the responsibility of the residential property owner. They have a privately funded sidewalk program where they will prepare the specifications and hire the contractor, but the resident has to pay for all of it 100%. There are other cities like Galveston who put it in code specifically that you'll do it. If you don't do it, they'll put an assessment on your property. And then you can see the city of Amarillo as an example that says that the homeowner is given 100% the liability for any hazard that arises out of poor sidewalk maintenance. We have worked with residents on Bioforest who have, for example, had a failed sewer line that caused a sinkhole into the sidewalk. And those residents were required to remove and replace the sidewalk.
Thank you.
Is that it, Alderman Jennings?
Yes, sir.
That's it. Any questions from the council? None being said, we'll adjourn the meeting at 8:09. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming in.